The Holy Gospel appointed for Palm Sunday, Sunday of the Passion, is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 11. We read responsively. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her.
Untie her and bring him to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away."
This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey."
The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their colts on them, and Jesus sat on them.
A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road.
The crowds that went ahead of him, and those that followed, shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David."
"Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest."
When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "The This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray to the Lord. Gracious and merciful Father, today you challenge us again to hail Jesus not only as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Hosanna to the Son of David, but also as the crucified Lord, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Therefore, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts and our minds today, that we may also confess and acknowledge him, saying, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The words for our meditation today, on this joyous Sunday and Sunday of the Passion, is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, with special attention to verses 8 through 11. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our personal Savior and the Lord of our Christian life, Hosanna to the Son of David. There is no question about the fact that as we today celebrate Palm Sunday, we rejoice as Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem triumphantly as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But at the same time, on this Sunday of the Passion, we grieve and we mourn that later, on Good Friday, Jesus had to suffer and die on the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As a matter of fact, this was Jesus' last visit to the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus knew precisely what was going to happen to him. Jesus warned his own disciples, saying in the Gospel of Matthew, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed by the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised to life again." Yes, as Jesus was slowly approaching the city of Jerusalem, down the slope of Mount Olivet, overlooking the entire city, the excitement by the people grew with great intensity and enthusiasm. The whole city was excited with enthusiasm, asking, "Who is this?" They just couldn't wait to see Jesus. The crowds answered, saying, "Who is this? This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Not only that, but they began to take off their garments and robes and spread them on the road. Others cut palm branches or palm leaves from the trees nearby, typifying grace and elegance and righteousness, a symbol of victory and rejoicing, as they broke into a song, not singing, but actually shouting at the top of their lungs, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They were shouting, "Hosanna," which means, "Save us now, Son of David," which means, "One who has come to save them from the tyranny under Rome and the legalism imposed upon them by the religious leaders in Jerusalem." Yes, they wanted Jesus as the Son of David to become their new ruler, their new king of the Jews. But as soon as the crowds found out later on that week that Jesus was not going to become their new king of the Jews, they all turned against him and demanded that he be crucified. Suddenly they weren't cheering or clapping for him anymore as the king of the Jews. Suddenly their shouts of "Hosanna to the Son of David" turned into shouts of anger and hate. "Crucify him! Crucify him! Away with this man!" Suddenly everything Jesus had done for them didn't matter anymore. Not even his miraculous signs and wonders could save him. Suddenly Jesus was being accused of blasphemy against Jerusalem. He was being accused of conspiracy and treason against Rome, failing to pay Caesar his taxes, and finally proclaiming to be a king. As a matter of fact, the pressure against Pontius Pilate, the governor, to condemn Jesus to death was so great that they even threatened him, saying, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend." Everyone who makes himself a king sets himself against Caesar. So Pilate, concerned about his own political ambition as the governor, finally gave in to their demands. As he washed his hands and said, "See to it yourselves, I'm innocent of this man's blood." And that's precisely what happened. As the Roman soldiers took Jesus and began to ridicule him, make fun of him, they stripped him of his clothes put on him a scarlet robe and a crown of thorns on his head. Then they also put a staff in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And if that wasn't enough, they even spat on Jesus and took the staff and struck him over and over and over again. And finally, they took him to Mount Calvary. He had to carry his own cross until Simon Cyrene came to help him, where Jesus was nailed to suffer and die as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, what about us here today? What about you and me again? Are we any different than the crowds who shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him, away with this man," even though at first they clapped and cheered, "Hosanna to the Son of David"? If we're honest with ourselves again this morning, the answer is no. We're no different, are we? We're also guilty because of our own sins, which have caused Jesus to suffer and die on the cross in our place. What we deserved by our sins. Yes, just like the crowds who turned against Jesus, we are also guilty when we are tempted to give in to the pressures and the demands placed on us by our society, our world out there today, by betraying, denying, and condemning Jesus to the cross ourselves. We betray Jesus just like Judas did, with a kiss, a sign of love and friendship. To deny Jesus just like Peter did, "I do not know the man," not only once, but three times. And finally, to condemn Jesus just like the crowds did as they shouted at the top of their lungs, crucify him, away with this man. And yet Jesus forgives us as we repent from our sins today. Jesus forgives us as he looks down from that cross and says to each and every one of us here this morning, and especially on Good Friday, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." So Dylan, as you today make your public confession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior through the rite of confirmation, and you become a communicant member of our church, you're also going to be tempted and pressured by our society out there to question your own faith, trust, and commitment to Jesus. It will happen once you begin to attend high school, college, and finally, as you later on move out and away from the security and comfort of your parents' home. It happens to all of us. I remember that myself. It is then that you will also feel the peer pressure and temptation of your faith, your trust, and commitment to Jesus to be put to the test. You're going to be tempted not to go to church anymore, not to say your prayers or read the Bible anymore. It is then, Dylan, that you must fight back with the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit and continue to be faithful to Jesus and his church. As a matter of fact, Dylan, your confirmation today is not a graduation from the church. Remember, you don't suddenly graduate from studying the Word of God and that now you know it all, because it's only the beginning as you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Remember, Dylan, we spent a lot of time together during the past year learning about the Word of God, and especially about the six chief parts of Christian doctrine. I hope you listen, and I hope you have learned enough to be ready and prepared today to make your commitment to Jesus. So Dylan, congratulations on this, your special day, your confirmation day. I'm sure that your parents, Beryl and Nikki, your sister, Tyler, your grandparents here today, your family, your friends, and all of the members here at Shepherd in the Pines are very proud of you. As your pastor, I'm also proud of you and want to wish you God's richest blessings as I place on you the laying of hands with the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then with the reading of your confirmation verse, which you have chosen for today, and that will stay with you for the rest of your life, from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Yes, the words we see printed on the two banners next to the cross. Sola gratia, sola fide. Only by grace, through faith. May our prayer today be the words we are going to sing during the confirmation hymn, Jesus, lead thou on, till our rest is won. And although the way be cheerless, we will follow calm and fearless. Guide us by thy hand to our fatherland. Yes, Dylan, as you are being confirmed today, I still remember vividly my own confirmation day way back in 1959, 60 years ago, when I was about your age, 11 years old. I remember my own faith, trust, and commitment to Jesus, and my own confirmation verse from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. I even remember singing Jesus, lead thou on, not in English, but in Portuguese. Guia-nos, Jesus, teu caminho é luz. Hesitar jamais queremos, sempre a ti fiéis seremos. Toma a mão dos teus, leva-os para o céu. Yes, Jesus, lead thou on, till our rest is won. May God bless you, preserve you, as you make that very important commitment to Jesus today, as your Lord and your Savior. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be and abide with us all unto life everlasting. Amen.